The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. For those about to vote, we salute you. Jason's in Grants Pass. Hey, Jason, how you doing this morning? Got a problem with the ballot? Huh?
Lovely, yes. I haven't got my ballot yet, and I want to make sure that I get my vote in.
Oh, that's a pretty good idea. You should have gotten it long ago, Jason. So obviously there must be a problem. And if you... Okay, all you got to do is just head... You're going to head down to the courthouse right across from the GOP headquarters, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, the election center is in there, and just talk with him, and I'm assuming that you're still registered okay, and there's no problem with that. And out of curiosity, are you like a P.O. box, or do you have a regular?
I have an address, and also my neighbor, which is my landlord, hasn't received his or hers.
Hmm. Okay. Well,
this is strange.
Yeah, there may be some Secretary of State things going on that are causing some trouble. So you just got to head down to the courthouse, do that today. You could also do it Monday or Tuesday. But I want
it done today.
Okay. So that's all you got to do, okay? And by the way, take your ID. All right?
Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome. Good luck. Boy. And do I have to say bring your ID? Does the county clerk ask? I don't know about that. Yeah, bring your ID. Maybe you don't need your ID. I don't know. It is Oregon after all, but oh, whatever. Outdoor report, we have that coming up. Will Lathrop is on the way in about a half hour. He wants to be the Oregon State Attorney General. It would be nice to see a change there. Let me grab another call. Hi, KMED. Who's this? Welcome. Hello. Hung up. Didn't expect to go on right away. Well, we will have some open phone time, too.
Artisan Bakery Cafe invites you to swing by.
7-0-K-M-E-D. Here's Bill Myers.
Mr. Outdoors joins me. Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com. Hey, Greg, how you doing this morning? Welcome back.
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm just looking at it. I saved this article that I got from University of Washington. The medicine news people send me a little release on... You know, here's the latest big pharma thing you need to get a shot on, et cetera, you know how it goes. But today, though, it was navigating stress and anxiety during a divisive election. As the November 5th election nears, anxiety is surging for many Americans. Trepidation is normal during the run-up to voting days, said Dr. Douglas Zatzik, a UW medicine psychiatrist who practices at Harborview. Anxiety is actually a very common and natural response. What it is, feelings of uncertainty, anticipation, tension about the upcoming election. You know something? I don't really have anxiety about that because I don't hang out with people that would give me that anxiety. Okay? That's the first thing I would say. In other words, don't hang out with your relatives that are telling you that you're, what did President Biden say the other day? Let me see if I can find. Yeah.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Yeah. Don't hang around with those kind of people. And there would be less anxiety. Wouldn't you think? Isn't that the best way to get around this and navigate it all?
I absolutely think so. And, you know, that's the great part about going into the outdoors. When you go into the outdoors, you're just not exposed to any of that at all. Life gets back to, you know, what its basics, it's what it really should be about. Living in the moment.
Yep.
The only thing that matters is what's right in front of you. Because the only things you can control are what you are doing.
And, of course, what you then blast with that big gun you're carrying in the
well,
hunt. All right?
Yeah, it kind of depends, you know. Obviously, you need to have the right shooting situations. And up until now, I just haven't had that. Now, as soon as we're done today, I'm going to be headed out and headed into the Applegate. And then we're going to take a look and see, you know, it, with the rain coming in this morning, see how that changes things for me. And then have a big day planned on Sunday with getting out with some friends and hunting an area up near Butte Falls.
So is this going to be kind of a scouting day, and then Sunday's the hunting
today,
day for you?
Today,
right?
Is really far more of a serious hunt day.
Oh.
And then Sunday is another serious hunt day. We got an area identified that, with all of the snow now up high, this is a winter range area for deer. There's always deer in it year-round. It's just there's going to be a lot more in it now, and we know it. So hunt in those areas that you know where deer tend to go in the winter to get away from the worst of the weather. That's kind of your key right now, because they definitely migrated out of the high country. And when I say the high country now in the Cascades, I mean in anything over 4,000 feet. The Siskiyous, same thing, except anything over 5,000 feet. They're definitely, those deer that live up in those areas have moved down lower. So the lower elevations right now, not only do you have your residents, you're also picking up those deer that migrated down to get away from the more severe winter conditions happening higher up.
All right, very good. Now, this weekend, given the weather pattern, you're probably not concentrating much on the fish, right? This is really going to be getting out in the woods, huh?
Yeah, this is absolutely prime for getting out and hunting blacktails. This is, for our deer, these are about as good a conditions as you can get. So this is the time that, definitely no cast and blast going on here. This is full on from dawn's early light until the last minute of daylight in the evening. You're out and you're grinding and you're hunting. Now, of course, Saturday, we're going to see the time change hit. So Sunday, of course, we're going to be shifting our clocks to match what happened with the time change. So Sunday's going to be a real early start heading out, especially compared to last Sunday. But, you know, definitely want to be in the woods at first light and take advantage of any opportunities that we're given.
Yeah, you definitely want to hit it earlier, especially given that the sundown will then be closer to about 5 o'clock then, right?
Right.
That's what we'll be looking at.
It changes things. You've got to shift your day an hour. And in this case, it's going to start an hour earlier than what it had been, and it's going to end an hour earlier than what it had been.
All right. What else might you be looking at here over the next few days as far as what's the weather pattern overall going to be looking? Are we going to start drying out at some point? And or is it just going to be kind of rain for a while? It looked like that was going to be what we were looking at every day.
Well, the drying out process is going to start tomorrow, and it's going to be more of a gradual type thing. But I want to get into what's going to happen today, because today we actually, along with the rain that's moving in, we are actually going to have pretty good chance, especially for late October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's try November. We're going to have a good chance for thunderstorms today.
Really?
Over areas west of the Cascades, and storms are already firing off offshore. But what's happening is the backside of the trough of low pressure that came in over us, that's been giving us all the stormy weather over the course of the last week, that's starting to push on through. And as the backside's coming in, the jet stream is now pushing in pretty much right over us, and it is creating a lot of dynamic in the atmosphere. The coast range is giving a lot of lift in the atmosphere. I put a post up at Rogue Weather's Facebook page showing this, but we're going to get thunderstorms popping off, especially at the coast, but we will probably be getting some storms into Josephine County. And there is a chance we could get some thunder booming over Jackson County as well, just simply because we have such a volatile atmosphere. Again, we've got that jet trough axis coming right down over the top of us, a lot of moisture, a lot of terrain lift. So storms could get popping and banging today. And if storms develop, these storms have pretty good potential for putting out some strong winds, maybe getting as high as 45 miles an hour. So, you know, really intense winds around these storms. Obviously, they'd be putting downpours of rain and, of course, lightning. So definitely it's something to keep an eye on today. We don't normally have this, you know, in the beginning of November, certainly as widespread as the threat area is today. And again, on our Facebook page on Rogue Weather, I'm going to show you what Storm Prediction Center put out, showing where the best potential for storms is today. And it's basically Cascades West in Oregon and stretching well down into Northern California, down into the Sierra, but over to also include the Redding, Chico, Red Bluff areas in the valley in Northern California. So just going to be a really active day. And in the mountains above 5,000 feet, still looking to see a lot of heavy snow continuing. The winter storm warning in the Cascades continues north of Highway 140 for elevations above 5,000 feet. Of course, tonight, Friday night football, the big game in Medford, Black and Blue Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely expecting it to be wet, expecting it to be raining. We could see some periods of heavier rain develop this morning into this afternoon as the bulk of the moisture on that jet axis swings through, and then expecting more of a persistent lighter rain to hang on overnight and then into tomorrow. And then it's later tomorrow afternoon where we really do start seeing things starting to dry out. Sunday will be a much drier day, certainly, than today will be and Saturday will be. So Sunday's probably, in terms of weather, the best day coming up of the weekend. But as we get into the first part of next week, looks like we're going to get a ridge rebuild over us that will shut the storm door for the time being through at least the middle of the week. But a week from now, looks like we get real active again, and we're going to be returning to more very wet weather with, again, heavy potential, or potential for heavy snow in the mountains.
All right. Very. You know, that's great, Greg. Yeah. I'm glad that there'll be some dry out, too, because I was paying attention to your forecast this week because I've been racing to get some winterization of generators and repairs done.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what it's like up at Nugget Butte and Gold Hill, right? You know how that road going up there for Q is just amazing. And someone, must be a cell phone company, actually graded the road, right? They graded the road just a few days ago. This is a horrible time of year to do it because, I mean, it's nice and flat and smooth, and they made it nice and wide for a lot of the parts. But as soon as the rain hits, that clay just turns into grease. It's like, man, oh, man, unless you're going to throw rocks down.
I'm just going to say, unless they gravel it, you can grade it. No, that's nice. But then when the rain hits it and that type of, you know.
Oh, man, hey, I'm tobogganing down the hill in some spots on the 4Runner, in the 4Runner. You know,
it becomes an adventure, but. You know, speaking of that, traveling some of our major roads here in the area, especially on the BLM side of things, they definitely did road improvements on BLM roads in the Applegate, the Wagner Gap Road, for example.
They did.
Up to
they improved
Service
that.
Road 20 south of Talent.
Mm-hmm.
They put new, material. I don't know that you could really call it gravel, but they put new material down and graded it, and they've been doing that during the hunting season. So that Wagner Gap Road right now is in about as good a shape as I've seen it. We've also noticed that the A Road and the B Road have had some attention getting fresh gravel down and getting graded. So, you know, there have been some improvements in some of our BLM roads that have needed it. Also know the Forest Service had been doing some work repairing roads as well. So overall, across Jackson and Josephine counties, I'm not going to say every road's been improved, but definitely they got out this summer and this fall, and it's still continuing and have been doing a lot of road improvement work.
All right. I'm glad to hear that, too. Hey, Greg, may have a quick question here for you. Hi, good morning, caller. You're with Greg. You have a question for him, or is it something else?
Yeah, Bill. And, Greg, just a little quick shout-out for this weekend. If you're not out or punching your tag and it's wet, Don Ledbetter from Three Rivers Ammunition up in the Hugo area, he's having a show at the expo with other gun sales people. But he acquired certain ammo, and it's really an educational opportunity for all of us who we're old minute of angle guys.
Yeah, is that Josephine County Fairgrounds is where that's going on, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And check him out. It's very interesting. And thank you both.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Yep.
Mr. Outdoors, have a great weekend. Get your buck. Okay. Tell us some success stories next Friday. All right. We'll do that.
You know, I feel really good about where we're at, and success may come today, and then hope it continues through on Sunday. And I know my buddy George is listening, and George can't wait for Sunday.
Yep, I'll bet he can. All right, we'll see you next Friday. Take care, Greg. Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com. Thank you. It's 728. By the way, Outdoor Report is sponsored every Friday about this time by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford, 729.
Joel here from Motherford and Truck.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Will Lathrop running for Attorney General of Oregon. We'll talk with him in about 5 minutes or so after news. And my favorite dad joke of the week I got from Linda this week. Linda sends me this dad joke of the day. Dad jokes, by the way, are sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. They have 7x14 dump trailers. They have a number of them that's remaining Delco. Blowout pricing on that. And by the way, they are experts at metal fabrication, work in dump trailers, truck flat beds and utility boxes. Body swaps, roll-up doors, hydraulic repairs. They do all that sort of stuff at Two Dogs. But Linda sends the my favorite dad joke. It just makes me smile. It says, my teacher told me not to worry about spelling because in the future, there will be autocorrect. And for that, I am eternally grapefruit. It made me smile. Thank you very much. It's kind of like looking at Trump in the garbage truck doing a press conference. You got to love that. 732.
Johnny Cash recorded I Walk the Line.
Hokins and Realty.
Hi, I'm Amber Rose with Siskiyou Pump Service, and I'm on KMED.
735, Will Lathrop wants your vote for Oregon Attorney General. He's a Republican running for the office there. Will, welcome back. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Will, I already voted for you, okay? Because I'm one of those those early voting guys, because I'm not a real fan of your opponent, of course. And I just wanted to talk, though, about what you have going on and what you are hoping to bring to the Attorney General's office. First off, if you could define to people what the Attorney General is, because according to my news release inbox, the only thing the Attorney General does in Oregon right now is to join every left-wing, class-action, liberal, sock puppet, whatever kind of event it is. You know, the Attorney General joins in on that and gets Oregon to join in on the lawsuits. And I'm just kind of wondering if that's the actual job of the Attorney General. Tell me what you think, huh?
Sock puppet sounds about exactly right.
You like that, so, huh? Okay.
The Attorney General is the chief law enforcement officer of the state. It's also the chief child protection officer and the anti-corruption wing of the government. And yeah, you're right. The current Attorney General has really used the position politically, and that's more or less new. Whether Democrat or Republican, it's not really supposed to be a partisan position. It's supposed to be a law enforcement position that enforces the law blindly and fairly across the board. And she's misused the office to consistently join in on national suits, trying to block presidential action, trying to do all kinds of things that she's not even supposed to be doing. Meanwhile, crime is out of control. We're doing a terrible job of protecting our children in the state of Oregon, and corruption is out of control in Oregon. She just hasn't done the things that you're actually supposed to do.
What will you do then in the office? And I know you've raised a pretty good chunk of change, so that's helpful. All right, that's helpful. I mean, money's not everything in a campaign, but it's not nothing. You understand that, right?
Yep.
And so there's a chance here. I would love to see this happen and not have another Democrat working families hack, get into this particular office. What would you do that's different?
Well, you know, we've tried to do two things. One is to raise the resources necessary to win, and we have raised as much or more than any Republican candidate has on a down ballot race before. So we've been well supported financially, and all of that money has come from Oregon. My opponent has taken 45% of his money has come from George Soros's family or outside law firms who want from D.C. or New York who want the state's business, and all of our money has come from Oregon. But at the same time, we've worked to run a really good grassroots campaign. I've gone to all 36 counties. I've spoken all 36 counties. I spent a lot of time in Portland going to the different neighborhood associations, winning over Democrat voters one by one by one, trying to be as aggressive as you can be on a grassroots level. And we know that this race is really, really close. So I want to encourage the voters that haven't voted, or the people on your show that haven't voted yet, or maybe apathetic or don't think it matters. This race is really, really close. It's going to come down to a small margin. And people in the Multnomah County are in the Portland Metro are not voting, which means rural Oregon or the rest of Oregon, your vote matters more this year because there's less coming in from Portland.
Yeah, that's interesting that you, I noted that the other day. It was surprising to see the turnout numbers so far, and rural Oregon and even semi-rural Oregon is much more active and would appear to be enthusiastic. Well, progressive Portland maybe going to sleep a bit. I hope they don't have a cheat machine, yeah. But that's a conversation for another time. That being said, though, are there any particular policies that you wish to champion as an attorney general, a new state attorney general?
Yeah, I mean, the very first thing is the attorney general is supposed to run point on all organized crime. That's drug trafficking, human trafficking, and organized retail theft.
Is human trafficking a big deal in Oregon, though? Is human trafficking a big deal, and how so? I know that's been a big part of your past. All right.
A very big deal. So I used to prosecute human trafficking cases in Oregon before I left to go work in Africa to do human trafficking work. And it was a small part of my caseload because it was there, but it wasn't that much. And I've come back and it's just really exploded. I mean, it went up 17% last year alone in Portland. And it's not only exploded in numbers, but in sort of dynamics, the different ways it's happening. You have narco trafficking, you have online sexual exploitation of children, you have traditional sex trafficking and labor trafficking and massage parlor trafficking. It's exploded. There's a correlation between drug trafficking and human trafficking. Whenever drug trafficking goes up, human trafficking goes up too, because addiction equals vulnerability and desperation, and desperation and vulnerability equals exploitation almost every time. So yeah, it's gone way up in the state of Oregon. It's very concerning.
As the attorney general, what sway do you have on the other attorneys, or do you have sway over district attorneys too around the state? Do you make rules for them? I'm sorry to be a little ignorant about this, but I don't know everything about the attorney general's job.
Well, the attorney general is really supposed to kind of be the center point of all law enforcement in the state. So it brings coalition between the district attorneys, sheriffs, and chiefs of police, all the law enforcement leaders, to get everybody on the same page, to be their advocate in the legislature, to be their advocate at the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court. So there's a natural dependent relationship between the two things. And the attorney general actually has omni-jurisdiction to investigate and prosecute in every county and every city. So
The
attorney general can come in and prosecute sometimes when sheriffs are failing to do their jobs or district attorneys are failing to do their jobs.
I didn't know that. So you could actually, if for some reason in some county, the DA or sheriff, they're choosing not to prosecute a crime because they think that the evidence is not there, the state attorney general could come in and make a decision or make that call. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, the attorney general can come in, but you don't, I mean, it should be a last resort. You don't want the state of Oregon coming in and imposing itself locally. I mean, you vote for your local DA, you vote for your local sheriff.
I get
it. The best remedy is to vote them out if they're not doing their job.
I would agree, but I'm thinking about sometimes in which I know that there is great discretion in district attorney's offices and in law enforcement in general. And I could think of some time, though, back in a number of years ago, as an example, when we had the Summer of Love and there was a lot of a lot of sportiness in Portland. You remember those days. And how can you forget, right? How can you forget? But it was astounding how often people would either not be arrested, or if they were arrested, charges were dismissed, and there was a very, very light touch. Now, being the chief law enforcement officer of the state then, could you actually ride roughshod on something like that and say, hey, no, listen, you really do need to take a look at this and try to keep peace and tranquility within your city? I mean, can you do stuff like that as an attorney general?
I mean, I don't know if I'm completely answering your question, but political crime is organized crime. So if you're talking about Antifa, these are organized criminal operations that are using lawlessness and violence and coercion to get their point across. That's illegal, and organized crime is under the attorney general. And so the failure of our current attorney general to deal with organized crime, it's drug trafficking, it's human trafficking, it's organized retail theft, it's also political crime. It's illegal political protests where people are using violence or intimidation to try to make their point. And we just have been so tolerant in Oregon that I think we're all worried that's going to happen again.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've been tolerant to criminality, which is different. You know, you want to be tolerant to protest, all right? Yeah, you want to go out there and you want to yell all you want. Okay, fine, yell. All right, that's just it. But you know, setting turning the city into one big dumpster fire—that's not good policy. Okay, that's
yeah. I mean, you have a constitutional right to peaceably protest. We all agree with that. We all celebrate that. You do not have a right to break the law, be violent, or intimidate others from it also peaceably protesting. And that's where we've gone wrong in Oregon.
Would you have jurisdiction? This may be a really weird question, okay? And I hope you just tolerate me on this one. Would you even have the ability to take a look at what another elected official is doing, such as the current Secretary of State, with that election misinformation spying type thing and what the constitutionality of something like that would be? Would that be something you have jurisdiction over? Just a quick curiosity on my part.
I would say it would kind of depend on the circumstances. Anytime a government official is acting corruptly, illegally, criminally, that's when the Attorney General comes in. If they're being negligent, if they're not doing a good job, the Attorney General has nothing to do with that. You have to vote that person out. But when it comes to things that violate civil rights, there's a civil rights division in the Attorney General under the Department of Justice. And yeah, if there's a civil rights violation by any of their other government institutions, the Attorney General is supposed to patrol that.
Okay. All right. You are the one in charge of defending the state of Oregon, too. If there's ever lawsuits involved, is that a true statement?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. I have to ask you, because I know that you're on the record being a big supporter of the Second Amendment. Got to ask you about Measure 114, because that appeal has been going on right now. They had an appeals hearing the other day. I have no doubt you read it. This was passed by just a handful of votes, really. And frankly, a lot of distortion, lies, told about this in this case. And we had a Harney County judge that declared it unconstitutional, and yet the current Attorney General, the Attorney General's Office, Department of Justice, is fighting this tooth and nail and defending Measure 114. Now, have you taken a look at Measure 114? It would practically shut down the gun industry in Oregon and turn half of what I have in my gun safe into contraband. I couldn't leave the house with it. So what would you do with this case? Because you'd be the one in charge of whether this gets defended or not.
So, yeah, let me unpack that, because that requires kind of a complicated answer. But one is, the Attorney General titles all of the ballot measures. So where ballot measure 414 went really wrong, much like ballot measure 110 when we decriminalized drugs, is that it was titled in a misleading way that caused people that probably wouldn't ordinarily have voted for it to vote for it. And then we have the situation we have in the first place. So one thing people need to understand about electing someone like me is, I'm not going to title the ballots the way I want them to go, win or lose. I'm going to title the ballot so that people know what they're voting for, and what the people decide. And we've had, one disastrous measure after another because I don't think people know what they're voting for. So people need to know that. That's the first law of 114, is with title law. And then secondly, from a law enforcement perspective, ballot measure 114, it was an unfunded mandate on police. Putting all of these constitutional questions aside, it required, we have a shortage of police, and we have defunded police, and we have police with less tools than they've ever had, and more crime than we've ever dealt with. And 114 takes uniforms off the street and has them doing gun background checks and gun safety classes.
Yeah, and they're saying no one's capable of doing that. They're not going to do it. So even what they're asking for can't be done.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. The sheriffs are saying, I'm not, constitutional or not, I'm not doing this. You're not paying for it. We have other duties. And so the current Attorney General can't, and the legislature can't. Nobody can make the sheriffs do what they're asking them to do. So it's a procedural and an administrative disaster.
And I agree with you. The question is, though, you're the one that would be in charge if the continuing suit or if the defending of it continues. And what can you do about that?
Yeah. And so that's where you have to make it. I have to make the hard decision as Attorney General. Is this my job to make the law? It's my job to enforce the law. And the law, the latest stage of the law was found by the Court of Appeals to be constitutional. So I will have to, by law, continue defending 114. And it'll probably go all the way to the Supreme Court. And my understanding is it could very, very well be struck down and be found to be unconstitutional. But when you're Attorney General, you kind of have three lanes. One is when you're defending actions of the state that are clearly legal and somebody's just bringing a frivolous case against you. They have the ones that are questionable. There may be a question about the legality of that. That's what 114 comes into. And that's when the courts decide, is this legal, is this constitutional, is it not? And then there's times where it's blatantly no-brainer, obviously unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. And then the attorney general, I've said many times in those instances, I will not defend what is overtly illegal state action.
Okay, well, you've read 114. You have to understand the law. What are your thoughts about that? Because, you know, if right now there's an appeal going on, the state is pushing the appeal. There is no decision about mm-hmm. this yet. Harney County judge already said, boom, unconstitutional. What say you, Will?
Yeah, so the Harney County judge is a circuit court judge, and the above a circuit court judge is the state court of appeals, and above that's the state Supreme Court, and above that's the federal Ninth Circuit Court, and then above that is the U.S. Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And so it started off at the bottom rung, and that person said it was unconstitutional, and then it was appealed and went to the court of appeals, and that was then it was found to be constitutional. So that's the status. That's the status it is right now. So a higher court has found to be constitutional, and it's going to keep working.
Okay, now in this appeal, let me ask you this then. In this appeal, if it is found unconstitutional in the appeals, okay, because they had a hearing on it a couple of days ago, all right? If it is found unconstitutional, will you continue, like the Department of Justice has been doing, or in Oregon, continue trying to fight for Measure 114 or not?
No, I'll respect the opinion of the court.
Okay, all right. Now, we got about a minute left before you turn into a pumpkin. I don't want to abuse the time here. So give me your elevator pitch, even though the pumpkins are getting smashed on the side of the road right now, okay? It's after Halloween. What do you say, Will? Why should you be the next attorney general?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I mean, I could talk about me or I could talk about my opponent. I've got 20 years of law enforcement experience. The thing that Oregonians are craving the most right now is just a return to law and order and public safety, which the attorney general plays a really strong role in. That's my background. I'm not a partisan guy. I don't have a political background. I just have a law enforcement public service background, both in Oregon as a child sex abuse prosecutor, nationally working on child abuse. And most recently, I was working to rescue human trafficking and child slaves in West Africa. My opponent has zero law enforcement experience. It's weird to run for a position that you have no experience at. Mm. He would just basically say his credentials is that he's a Democrat and he's a lawyer, and that he thinks that makes him qualified. And you said sock puppet earlier, so I'll steal that line from you. If you vote for Dan Rayfield, you're voting for another sock puppet who's going to do all of the things that his predecessor has done and all the things that have consistently frustrated us in so many different ways. And to the people, you were just mentioning 114, and I know that there are many of your listeners that want me to go for broke against 114. I understand that when people are passionate about the Second Amendment, they're very passionate, but you need to understand that my opponent is an extreme gun regulation. Has extreme gun regulation
and,
background.
And I agree with you. The background is all there. People, though, I think are looking for a fighter, you know, on these kind of issues, and not just go along to get along. Attorney General, that I think that's why I was pressing you on that. Okay.
And that's fair. I don't mind either. I know it's a sensitive issue, and you'll get a fighter in me. But people have to understand that I'm inheriting something on that issue. I'm inheriting that something that's way down the river. And when you can trust me to be somebody who's going to uphold the Constitution, is going to protect people, is going to keep my eyes on Oregon and what we can do to fix this state. And I'm not going to do or use my office for political purposes. That's not my background. That's not what my desire is.
That would be
and
a
I would
pleasure.
Just love if people would vote.
Okay. WillLathrop.com, www.willlathrop.com. I already voted for you, and I hope everybody else does too. All right, Will, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Have a good night.
752, this is KMED, 99.3 KBXG. It is open phones for the rest of the show. We can talk about anything on your mind. Do you want to just shoot the bull with me? Let's shoot together.
It's amazing. What's right under your...
For my friends at Ron Smith, 22604.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Call Bill now, 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
And because it is Friday, I turn the show over to you. It's Find Your Phone Friday for the rest of the time. The next hour, 60 minutes, and we'll go over various other stories and news. But, yeah, I want to find out what's on your mind. Matt, you took the time. You were out doing get-out-the-vote calls. What are you hearing, huh?
I was. So, you know, normally I would just be calling people who live in this area, right? So I start this conversation. I just said, yeah, I'm just checking to see if you got your ballot and if you have any questions on any of the candidates or any of the ballot measures. So we start talking, and I can hear his kids in the background. He's a young dad. We start having this conversation. He is asking the most amazing questions about the ballot measures.
Really?
And as we're going through them, he says something to me, and it was one of those where I was asking him about, I think candidates. And I said, well, I said, I'm looking at your address. I said, I don't really know where this is. I said, where do you live? And he says, Hillsboro.
Oh, you got to call the northern part of the state. Okay.
I did. Well, he's a black guy, young dad. So we went through several of the ballot measures. I got to tell you, conversations like this really encouraged me because he wanted real details about how stuff works. So one of them had to do with the tax on sales, right? And he asked me flat out, he says, well, why shouldn't I vote for this? If it's not costing me anything and my business is small and it's not going to affect my business, but I'm going to get a check, why shouldn't I vote for it? And a lot of people who are conservative would say, oh, my God, not this guy. You know, he doesn't care. You know, screw the big business. Just mm-hmm. give me the check.
Yeah.
He wasn't that way at all. He said, well, how do you see something like this going wrong? Or, you know, why shouldn't I just take the money? And so we actually talked about the origins of the income tax and how it started out as a nickel on a buck. And I went through the process. I said, look how that's turned out and how it grew. And he said, well, do you see something like that happening here? I said, well, you can't legally change this. But what it is, it's the toe in the water. And so over time, they could lower the income, the sales or revenue thresholds until it begins to affect other people. Because whatever tax they put on, it never seems to be enough. They always want to adjust. And they never adjust so it's lower. They always adjust so it's higher. And he asked me about ranked choice voting. He had no idea how that worked. So I went through that, and we had this great open conversation. This is like one of those things, if I had a podcast, and I was trying to have a conversation with a voter who just really wanted to understand things better, this would have been fantastic because a lot of people who would have listened would have learned things they haven't heard before. So check this. He says, can you tell me what's going on with Measure 114? And here you were just talking to Mr. Lathrop about this. We had a great conversation about that because he says, part of the reason I'm asking is I'm going hunting with some buddies this weekend. And he says, I'm worried. He goes, I don't know where the thing's at. Is it declared unconstitutional? I turned him on to Kevin Sterrett in Oregon Firearms Federation. I said, have you ever heard of these guys? He goes, no, I never have. I said, do you have a pencil? He goes, let me get one. So I gave him the name. I said, hey, you can donate to them. I said, but their website will give you constant updates. And I don't think he's unique. I know this is anecdotal, but I don't think it's unique. I think a lot of people across the state, not just in, you know, Hillsboro or the Portland area, I think they really don't have a deeper understanding of things like the Constitution, how things are affected, things that get passed. You mentioned that 114 was basically a giant scam. It passed with a very small majority of votes. And I like what Mr. Lathrop said about titling these ballot measures so it's not so misleading. So, but this was... I have to say, I was so encouraged on my way home. It was my last call.
So it gave you hope, in other words, that not everybody is unreachable or is unreachable, that people aren't necessarily unreachable. But you actually reasoned with him, and I think you made another friend for some more common sense.
In fact, you know, it's funny. I actually gave him my name, and I told him he could look up my website or whatever. But so here's the other thing that blew me away. He says, I normally don't even vote for president because it doesn't make any difference in Oregon.
Hey, no, you want to vote for president this time, even if Donald Trump doesn't win, because if they end up, you know, you want that big popular vote thing for him, all right?
Well, we talked about that, and it led into a conversation about Antifa. I said, look, to basically give him more of a mandate if he were to win, if he could win not just the Electoral College vote, and he knew all about that stuff, and I said, if he can win the popular vote, he's told me his dealings with Antifa, where he lives.
Yeah.
I'm to Portland.
All right. Good job on that one. Thanks for doing the reach out, all right? I really do. Hey, Matt, I got to go. Yep. We'll have you back as always, right. Okay? So, Matt, let me go to Brian. Brian's here. Hey, Brian, one more Trump train for the weekend coming up, huh?
Yes. Tomorrow is our 8th Trump train rally up 6th, 7th Street, downtown Grants Pass. Anybody that we really want to get the message out. In 2020, we had over 300 vehicles. This year, we don't seem to have nearly that many vehicles. I don't know why, but we're also looking for a garbage truck.
If you can get a garbage truck, take a picture of that. I'd love to see it. All right, good to know. Thanks for letting us know, Brian. A garbage truck. I wonder if you can borrow a garbage. Yeah, I want to borrow your garbage truck for the Trump train. That's funny. All right, let me go to DP, Deplorable Patrick. Hi, Patrick. How you doing?
Good morning, Bill. Hey, that last guy was great. Hey, I was hoping to ask Will Lathrop, but I'll ask you, how do you feel about life sentence for human trafficking if convicted and a death sentence for child trafficking? And what could be done about it?
Boy, I love that idea. I really do. Oregon as a state, though, is not a big fan of the death penalty. I've been less of a fan of the death penalty only because, well, and I think they're doing a better job of the of protecting rights now. But I mean, I would talk to a lot of people in the Innocence Project, and there were innocent people that found themselves on death row. They ended up being released, and they wouldn't get their DNA hearings and all the rest of it. Maybe there's not as much of that now. So, but still, child trafficking with the kids, fine, get them off the planet. All right. Yeah,
you know,
I don't think he would have anything to do with it, though, because the governor has stopped that. The governor stopped it, though.
Well, one thing I noticed is this subject doesn't seem to be going away. It's been continued in the conversation for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think we're doing enough about it.
Well, in general, we haven't been as punishment-oriented. Would that be fair?
Maybe if we change it to life in prison for child trafficking.
Hmm. I would prefer death to the child traffickers myself, but
if you could get it.
If you could get it, yeah. Well, either life would be fine, too. Yeah, above measure 11. Thanks for the call, DP. Cherry, you want to lighten up the mood. How about a movie review here to send us into the weekend? What do you think?
Well, I've seen tens of thousands of World War II movies by now, but this movie called Lee, L-E-E,
mm-hmm.
is remarkable. I am shocked. It's with Kate Winslet. Oh, my God.
So, Lee, and now, is Lee the Kate Winslet character, or is Lee someone else? What's the story?
It's Lee Miller.
Oh!
And she was a Vogue model, and I have Vogue magazine for over 73 years now. I mean, that's how long I've been looking at that magazine. And it's so remarkable. But the thing is that her character is a little hackneyed by other movies of the same sort of ilk. But this is remarkable because it's her story. It's about her relationships with, all different kinds of people, but mostly she gets out of being a model and she becomes a correspondent for the war effort. And what happens to her character, what happens to her partner, I can't even tell you how remarkable. And the ending, of course, I would never say the ending.
Yeah, don't do this, but still. So I'm glad to hear. I hear a lot of passion in your vote. So we'll take a couple of cherry. You know, we'll say four cherries on the cake for Lee. Okay, right?
Yeah, and the ending was very surprising. That's all I can say is it's worth watching.
All right, we'll take that. That's something to watch this weekend. So four for Lee. Appreciate the review there, Cherry. 5 minutes after 8. If you are on hold, I will get to your call here in just a moment. It is open phones on. It's not a conspiracy theory day, but it's just a good day, a Friday, all right? 770-5633, KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass, Town Hall News, quick update, and then more of your calls.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast